where Pauline read for us. We're looking at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 this morning. Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you for the scripture that leads us into your truth, the revelation that you've given to us, O God. And we give you thanks, Father, that we can give attention to your word because it's a light to our eyes. Your word is pure. Your word is truth. Lord, your word is more sweet than honey from the honeycomb. It is a wonderful word. And by it we are warned, and in keeping with it there is great reward. So, Father, we pray today that you would enliven us by your Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking today at the theme of being made alive in surrender, more alive in surrender. And these Sundays coincide to some extent, just giving some of the heart behind what we're looking at with the vision evenings about everyone coming alive in Christ. And as we've been praying over that sort of phrase, really, for the past 6 months, for me and for others, we've been praying into this for months now. And the Lord really spoke to us back in the summer about the sense of our church coming alive even more. That's not to say that we're not alive. We are. But I always believe there's more. I always believe that we can come even more alive in the things of God. We can never exhaust God's goodness or his grace. And we can never have enough, if you like, of who he is. And so we want to come more and more and more alive in Christ. And that's certainly been my prayer. Lord, I want to come more alive in Christ than I've ever been before. I've been following the Lord since 1985. And I want to become more alive in 2020 than ever. That's my prayer. And I hope that that could be our prayer together for every one of us. No matter what we've been in the past. And actually Isaiah says, forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. And God wants us to be closer to him now than we've ever been before. I know that for me, I'm so aware, honestly and genuinely, of all my weakness and in the many ways that I fail the Lord and let him down. But I'm really also conscious of his amazing grace coming into this year. God, our God is a gracious God. And I feel excited as I was just the other day reflecting upon 2019. I was actually writing the PCC report on last year for the APCM that we're having in April. But I was writing the report just this past week as chairman of the PCC. And I was just so excited thinking about all the amazing things God has done. And also what excited me was the amazing ways that people here are involved in the things that God's doing. There's such a heart, and I'm so pleased and thrilled about it. There's a real heart in this church to be involved. And I thank you, and I want to say thank you and well done, because it's good. It's not the same everywhere. I love to see that there is a heart and a desire to be involved in large ways and in small ways. It doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. It's about doing what God wants us to do. That's the important thing. And there's such potential in this church family to see even more. If we would be even more filled with the love and the grace and the presence of Jesus, we would see even more things take place. And that's what I'm excited about. Every person filled with the Holy Spirit. Every person. And I believe that Jesus wants that for us. John Wesley once said, "Oh, that God would give me the thing that I long for, that I may see a people wholly devoted to God, a people truly given up to God, body, soul, and substance." That's a tremendous thing. Well, that's what Wesley was praying for, the founder of Methodism. And here, I believe that we're called to the deepening of spiritual life. And one of the ways we do that is through surrendering to God. The way that we're going to see this potential realize, the way that we're going to see more of God and become more alive in Christ, is to surrender ourselves more and more to him. That is the way to the deepening of our life in God. It is not as the world would tell us. The way is not self-fulfillment or self-realization, as so many in our world seem to believe. It's not through having our entitlements. It's not through asserting ourselves as the world does. Contrary. The way of the kingdom, the way of growth, the way of blessing, the way of love is the way of surrender, surrendering our lives to Christ. And this is the path of humility. It's the way of brokenness. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. It's the bending of our will to God's will. That's what Jesus did in Gethsemane. Lord, not my will leads us into wanting what we want. But actually, the New Testament invites us to put our priority on what God wants for His glory, for His honor, bending our will to His, serving. The Bible often speaks of the way to blessing, the way to knowing God is not through getting, but it is through giving. It is not through being served, but it is through serving. This is the way of the Lord. This is the way of dying to self. This is the most excellent way of love in 1 Corinthians. That's what love is about. That wonderful passage and about the nature of love. It is the self-emptying. It's the self-giving. It's the love that surrenders through a choice. We choose to lay down our own agenda so that the glory of God would be our desire. That is the way of becoming all that God has created us to be. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 speak into this way very eloquently. And chapters 1 to 11 have been about the teaching, a very logical display of the teaching of salvation, how God delivers us from judgment. Romans 1, 2, and 3 are all talking about how we are under the wrath of God apart from Christ. And Romans is a tremendous, eloquent description of all that Christ has done for us, for our salvation on the cross. How He's brought us out of judgment and given us grace, brought us out of death and given us life. 12 through to 16, the chapters, speak of how to practically live that out. And that was, this letter, remember, was written to the believers in Rome who lived in an incredibly immoral culture and atmosphere. And they lived under a time of tremendous persecution of their faith. And this was the context into which this letter was written. So it wasn't an easy context. It was no easier. In fact, it was harder than we have it today. We do live in an immoral culture, but we're not persecuted, certainly not close to what those Roman persecuted Christians suffered. And so it wasn't a walk in the park for them either. It would have been a difficult calling, surrendering themselves to God. It may have even cost them their life in martyrdom, in the Colosseum, or in somewhere else, but this was the heartbeat of Paul's message to the Roman church. And he says to them there, I urge you. The apostolic urging. What was it that was important, of first importance to the Apostle Paul? There was passionate pleading. I urge you, he says. This is a priority for him. And if the Apostle Paul were to be preaching this morning, maybe this is his message, because it seems to be very important to him. I urge you, he says, in view of God's mercy. And I love that phrase. In view of God's mercy. In other words, take a good look at the nature the character, the love of God. Take a good look at God in view of God's mercy. Have that as your landscape for living. Take a look at that beautiful scene of the love of God. This, the vista, the sight, the view of his mercy. Paul was so conscious because he knew, again, here's a man who came out of what he would see as wickedness, and he spoke of how he felt like the chief of sinners. Paul didn't think of himself as a good man. He thought of himself as a sinner saved by grace. And if the Apostle Paul thought of himself like that, I don't know where that puts us, my goodness. I don't know where that puts me. Because we always think of the Apostle Paul as a man of God, and yet he relied on the grace of God. He relied on the mercy of God, not on his own righteousness. He says it's in view of God's mercy, not in view of how we're living or in view of how good we think we're doing or taking our own temperature or pulse, spiritually speaking. No, it's in view of God's mercy. It's not about how we're doing. Am I feeling good? Am I feeling up to serving God today? Well, no, not really. Oh, well, don't worry about it. You know, this is how our world works. Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we set our affection on things above, not on the things of earth, Colossians tells us. And it reminds us here, in view of God's mercy, we take our standard from the gospel. We take our standard from Christ. And so that's how we're to live. So what is our response to God when we take in this view, when we see what God has done for us? What's our response in view of God's mercy? Now what do we do? If we've looked at it properly, if we've seen it correctly, what should happen? Do we just carry on through life? We just carry on in our own way, carry on struggling in our own wants and desires and entitlements and assertions? No. He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer. It's the sense of take, Lord. I'm offering. What a beautiful word in the New Testament. This offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I offer my eyes, my hands, my feet, my mind, every part of me. I offer myself to you, Lord God. Lord, it's not what I can get, it's what I can give. This word offer carries with it the sense of free will. This is not under compulsion or pressure. It's a response of the free will of our lives in view of God's mercy. There's only one appropriate way forward, and that is to say, Lord, take my life. Because of all you've done for me, how could I ever do anything else? The only just thing I can do is to say, Lord, take off. I offer. I surrender. Romans 6:13 has this word, yield yourselves unto God. Yield. Much of the world today calls us to take, to get, to have. And actually the Bible says yield, offer, surrender. This is the path of discipleship. And it's a wonderful thing. We offer our witness, we offer our love, we offer our time, we offer up our forgiving, praying, kindness, compassion, our love for a desire to live in a way that is in keeping with God's creation, a desire to live a righteous, just life, caring for others. All of these things are part of us offering. It's what it looks like to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Take my life, Lord. Lord, I am yours. I am yours. I belong to you. I surrender. I offer. I yield. I bend my will. And friends, today, that is the place of blessing. That is the place where we come alive in Christ. And the truth is that when we surrender, it's never perfect. It's never that we get it all right all the time. And it's not that we ever have a problem-free surrender. Even though we're offering these things to God, things will still come into our lives that are challenging, tough. We still live in this world that we inhabit. But as we're offering it to God, and Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians, where he says that the Lord says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's not that our surrender is perfect. As we offer ourselves to God, it's the best we have each day. It's God's grace that makes it work. It's God's grace that makes it perfect. Of course, I might surrender my life to Christ today and tomorrow still struggle with many things. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the grace of God. It's in the power of the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit, the Bible says. Be filled. Go on being filled with the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us live a life of surrender. And we need the grace of God because we still fail. We're still weak and broken. But it's God's grace that makes it perfect. Andrew Murray described it like this. He said, it's having my whole nature yielded to his power. And we do have a choice as to whether to withhold or to offer. Paul says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. All on the altar, we used to say. Every part of my life on the altar for God. Ready to be consumed by him. Ready to be spent and offered up. Lord, let my life be an offering. My words, my actions, the way that I treat people, the time I spend with God, the giving, in every way, the generosity of my heart. God can touch us in a thousand ways to give ourselves, to offer up our lives unto him. And may he help us to do it. May 2020 be a time where we come more alive than ever before. And it's because we've gone deeper than ever before in our surrender. It's hard, though, to give up, to release to God, instead of hold on tightly to things. This is what we do in our lives. We think that by holding on to things, we get to keep them. Not, it might be possessions, but it might be other things. It might be attitudes or thoughts or many things we can seek to hoard and hold on to. And guard and protect in our own strength. And actually, all of that is dust. All of that is, you know, steam out of the kettle. You know, you can't hold on to steam. You can't hold on to that. The more we try to hold on, the more we're actually losing our life. Jesus said it's in giving. It's in surrendering our life that we find it. It's as we hold on to our lives, then we lose them. And to this year, may God help us learn. Lord, help me not to withhold. Help me not to try and protect my own life in my own strength. But Lord, give me the strength of the Spirit of God to begin to open up my life to you, Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to open my life to Christ and offer. Let the young lady in the Hebrides who said, I haven't got much to offer, but what there is, he has it all. You may not think you have much to offer, or you may think you've got lots. That's up to you. But what there is, let him, the blessings of communion with God, closeness to God, knowing Christ, that's the greatest blessing. I'm not talking about material blessings at all. We're talking about the blessing of the nearness of God. The blessing of knowing that we're making a difference in eternity. the blessing of loving people, the blessing of being kind and compassionate to others. It all comes alive. It ceases to be duty. It becomes a joy when it's done out of the view of God's mercy and it's done from surrender. So let's just pray as we close. Lord, I make a full surrender. All I have, I yield to thee. For thy love, so great and tender, asks the gift of me. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that today you might find us here in this place as those who say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Help us to do it, Lord. Help us to offer our lives to you in this coming year. And I pray that each of us, every single one of us, may be more alive in Christ than we've ever been before because of your great love and your great mercy. And we pray these things sincerely in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.